Now we're going to go into the Word, and I want to share with you in the ministry of the Word this morning a preciousness of familiarity. And sometimes we become so familiar with a thing, we think it's almost erased, and time has erased it. Time has not erased it. So we're looking today at the 26th chapter of Matthew. Let me read quickly this little paragraph from verse 36, just down a little way, the 26th chapter of Matthew, verse 36. When Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here, keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here comes the betrayer." And very often we forget this portion of the scripture, and very often we forget some of the teaching that comes from it. I want to leave with you and share with you some of this teaching. I would like to share it with you in this way. From verse 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. I don't know how you pray, whether it's kneeling or whether it's standing, whether it's laying or whether it's sitting. I don't know how you like to pray, but I know this, that when Jesus was in an agony of soul, with his face he fell to the ground. There was an agony that was deep within, and he found himself compelled to fall upon his face and to cry and to weep and to speak with his Father in heaven. Always, the Lord Jesus just goes a little further. This is a play that I am deliberately using to play on the words. He always goes a little farther. It was a young woman of ill repute that came to him. The scribes, the Pharisees, the general religiosity of the moment would not accept that woman. Jesus went a little further. A young man came to Jesus by night and inquiring about eternal life. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they were abed and hadn't time to speak with this man. Jesus went a little further. Blind men shouted in the crowd, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." The crowd said to Jesus, "Don't bother with them. Keep going on into Jerusalem. Be our king." But Jesus stopped and Jesus said, "Come to me." And they came. Jesus went a little further. Jesus will go a little farther with you. Jesus will go farther than a counselor, farther than a pastor, farther than a parent, farther than a friend, farther than a lover, for Jesus is used to going a little farther. He understands the need. He seeks, he saves the lost, not the found. He is ever looking for that that is displaced, not that that is well arranged and in its righteous place. Jesus has compassion on the people. He had a compassion. He had this inner feeling of tremendous love toward other people. And he reached out with that tremendous love. He went farther than anyone else would ever go. Jesus saw the multitudes and had compassion, a deep yearning from within, a deep longing for their spiritual safety. Jesus reveals his love when he walks toward the unlovely, the unacceptable, and the uninitiated. Jesus goes towards those that are without, and he brings them within. Precious is this Jesus that goes a little farther. He reveals love to the unlovely. He bestows blessing where cursing would naturally and normally be. It's a curious thing how we will drive from us people and those that seem to be offensive, and we will push people away from us because they don't quite fit our scheme of things or quite fit in the slot that we have predetermined they should. Where cursing seems to be the order of the day, Jesus brings blessing. And upon those that are cast out, he brings them in, and he blesses them with spiritual blessings supernal. His is the divine love. He said, I want you to understand, speaking to his disciples, I want you to understand my love. I love you as my Father has loved me. And I want you to learn to love those around you with the same sort of love. It's hard sometimes to come to that point. But the divine love that is built up within our hearts cannot be mistaken for divine love. It must not be reduced to a pure physical love. It must not be reduced to a human love. It must not be degraded into a sexual love. It is a love that is divine, and it's all other loves excelling. It is the joy of heaven to earth come down, and we must pray, fix in us thy humble dwelling, evermore thy faithful mercies crown. But look at his prayer, and look at the praying of Jesus here. There are four areas that I would take you into. The first is, it's a humble prayer. When Jesus was praying, he was praying a very humble prayer. Luke says in his account, he knelt. But here we read he fell on his face. Humility goes with the ability to pray and falling upon prayer, upon the ground. When we lift our hearts to prayer, we find that we have a good foothold on prayer. I'm certainly not saying you cannot pray standing or laying or sitting or even kneeling. And I don't suppose everyone in this congregation this morning would feel like falling upon the ground. But if you should feel like falling upon the ground, my dear friend, do it. Recently, I was in a service with a very dear friend of mine who at one time would express no emotion at all. We stood side by side at the front of a church in the front because there were no seats anywhere else. I had tried to be very incognito at this church because I was well known, and I wanted just to observe what was going on. We were singing some choruses just as we were a few minutes ago, and suddenly my friend, with his hands high in the air, stepped forward and fell with somewhat of a crunch on his knees. And then I looked and saw his face was upon the ground, and nobody else was bothered that he was there. I was worried that he might have hurt himself. Then as he worshipped God in the front there, and as others joined him, and they also placed their faces upon the ground in that sanctuary, there was something very different, and there was an aura of something or other that I really cannot explain, but they seemed, in the humility of their hearts, to have reached a place that I was yet to find. There is no, or rather not a hope, if we don't prevail with God. And the only way we can avail with God and prevail with God is when we are upon our prayer life with great humility. And when we abase ourselves, he exalts us in due season. I don't know how you view your own personal humility in prayer, but if you are humble in prayer, then, my dear friend, bring yourself with all humility and upon your knees, if you like, upon your face. Come and lift up your prayers before your Lord. The second thing I would share with you is this, that his was a filial prayer. He said, Father. This was a very involved prayer. This was involved in the family. He said, Father. The apostle later writes, he says, Abba, Father. Jesus said to the disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray, how shall we pray, they asked. Will you teach us? And he said, certainly, this is how you pray. My darling daddy, my dearest papa, we say, our Father, Abba, Father, my dearest daddy. Then you ask, our treason, our sin, our hatred for God has forfeited our rights to anything that is holy and anything that is heavenly and anything that is of God. We have forfeited every right. We have been treason before God. We have said we will follow him. We have said we will not betray him. But like Judas, all of us have been guilty of kissing the devil upon the cheek. We have gone to Jesus with great affection, and we have turned and we have served the enemy. There's treason. With great affection and great emotion, many of us over the years have said, Lord, I lay my life at your disposal, but we have taken it back and we have made it at our disposal, and then we have wondered why it is so disposable. We have kissed the enemy upon the cheek. It's a terrifying thought that we have said one thing to Jesus and we have acted an entirely different thing in our lives. It's a terrifying fact that we face. Our treason has forfeited our every right to heaven. But we can cry, Father, because by adoption, recognizing that we are treasonable people, by adoption he has taken us into the family of God, and we can sing with all our might, I belong to the family of God. I am washed in his blood. I'm drawn by his spirit, and I belong to that wondrous family of God. It's a filial prayer that Jesus brings. Nothing can forfeit a child's right to protection. And so though we may have been treasonable people, and though we may have been ghastly in our sin, we can cry, Father, and the Father will turn. And the Father will listen, and the Father will protect. We can plead our adoption. The Father will not turn away from the child that asks for protection. The Father will not turn from the child who cries out for help. Father, hear my cry. Hear my cry. Jesus, going a little farther, fell down upon his face to the ground and prayed, Father, my Father. When you pray, what do you say? Do you say with great flippancy, well, here I am, Lord. I'm back again, bashing on the door. I need some favors. Got caught the other day, up to mischief again. Deliver me from the mischief. Deliver me from the courts. Deliver me from those that would oppress me. Is that how you react? Or do you come before God, longing for his very best for those around you and your own life, and cry, Father? Mary Slessor, a favorite and champion of missionaries in Africa, fell in love with a young man. The man was a dear man, bachelor. He also was a missionary, but he didn't belong to the same mission. And she wrote to the mission council and she said, "Whatever your will is, I will do it. I will take it as God speaking to me. But I'm in love with this man and I would love to marry this man. And we would like to work for the mission as a married couple." And the missionary society wrote back and said, "No, do not marry." Who knows the agony of that woman's heart as she obeyed the instruction of the society? Who knows the disappointment of her body as she obeyed that society? Who knows the agonies and thoughts as she got older and could have bounced perhaps grandchildren upon her knee, but never could, and could never say a child was hers? Who can say the misery on the one hand, but from that misery and from that disappointment and from that hazardness of that time grew a great work in Africa, and today Mary Slessor is looked upon as one of the choice people of God. What of the young man? Well, he didn't receive the word very clearly, nor did he receive it very kindly. And with great bitterness of soul, gave himself up to all sorts of greater bitterness, and died an embittered man. We can cry, "Father, Father." Let me take you to the third place. This was a persevering prayer. We read that Jesus said these words or similar words three times. It was persevering three times he prayed, "And our continual coming may earn what the first petition could not win." A woman came to Jesus and asked for her daughter, and he ignored her, but she kept persistently coming until eventually he said, "What is it you want, madam?" And she said, "I need your help for my daughter." And he gave her the help. It's a great picture in the New Testament of perseverance. There needs to be, as Jesus persevered, so need we to persevere in prayer. Continue in prayer. Watch with thanksgiving, but continue in prayer. I was in the same church I've already mentioned, and I turned around after when we were singing some choruses, and in the middle of the section that I was sitting in, right in the center, I saw two people I knew very well. A young woman that I had baptized, led to the Lord and baptized, her husband, who for years had resisted the gospel. He sat in this congregation, in this church, about 5 years ago when they were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. He still rejected the gospel. About 2 years ago, he received the Lord Jesus in this church that I'm telling you about. At the end of the service, I got up and I started to move backwards through the center aisle. There was a tremendous upheaval of people as these two persons, he didn't even wait for his wife, he was crawling over some people to get out into the aisle, and he was saying in the loudest voice, much louder than the organ was playing, "This is the man that prayed for me for 30 years. I wish I could say I prayed every day, several times a day for 30 years. He ran, and we collided in the aisle like two bull elk. And people were quite stupefied because English people at the end of a service sit quietly and pray. This eruption caused everything that I had tried to avoid in going to this church. That was recognition. But he cried out from the center of this block of people until he ran into the middle aisle, and then we collided in each other's arms. A moment or two later, his wife, Monica, came along and wrapped her arms round me too, and we weepingly, we three stood in the center aisle praising God. At last, Jeffrey was right with God. We have to learn persevering prayer. The last thing, there are prayers of resignation. That is, not that I quit, but that I am accustomed to what God wants, not what I want. I receive what He would lead me into, not what I would run into or walk from. There are prayers of resignation. Listen to this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hear this prayer. It's said very clearly. Jesus says, not my will, your will. Let that be done. Whatever you want, Lord, that's okay with me. Most of the time, our prayers are fretting prayers, where we are agonizing, Lord, give me what I want. Lord, give me what I choose. Lord, give me what I ask for. Lord, give me what I've seen. Give me what I anticipate. Give me what I desire. And that's the fret of the Christian, mostly in the day in which you and I are living. We have to come to the place where we hear Jesus saying, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it please pass quickly. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not easy. But when we yield, God yields. Draw near to me, he says, I draw near to you. And the moment you come into, excuse me, the moment you come toward me, says the Almighty One, the King of all glory, so I come to you. The moment you upon your knees fall with humility of heart, with desperation of soul, with expressions such as, Abba, Father, look upon this little child. Come to me. I come. I come. We sometimes sing a hymn, pass me not, O gentle Savior. And I think it's so misplaced, mostly, for he doesn't pass us, but we surely pass him. With our fretting prayers, with our fretting nonsense, we come before God constantly with the I wants. I want this, and I want that. And he has to say no. Or he allows it, and there is deep sorrow within our hearts, for he allows some things that bring a dearth, bring a barrenness to our souls. Let us be as God wills, and he will determine the best. Let us be as God wills for us, and let him determine the very best for all of us, that very best may cause us to be content to leave our prayers in his hands, for he knows what, when, how to give and what to withhold. We need to prevail in prayer. And if we prevail, the will of God will be enacted. The Lord Jesus prevailed in prayer. His prayer was answered, not my will, thy will be done. And the will of God the Father was done in the Son. Jesus prevailed in prayer. And the will of God was enacted. The blood was freed. We now have access to the throne of grace, all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus, you can cry out, Abba, Father. If you have a variance with parents or child, if you have a variance with friends, or others around you, you can come running and you can cry out, Father, and he hears and he meets your need and he meets it now. He comes. Behold, he comes because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. When he prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. His prayer was was humble. He fell upon his face. It was filial. He cried, Father. It was persevering. Three times he prayed the same or similar prayer. It was a prayer of resignation. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ prevailed. A woman came into the room where Jesus was, and she wanted to anoint him unto his burial. She didn't really understand everything that she was doing, but she knew that she had to do this. And she took the alabaster box of ointment, and she broke the neck of the bottle. We think it was shaped like a bottle. And she broke the neck, and she poured the ointment, and the ointment covered his head and his feet, and the odor filled the entire household. When that box was broken open, the odor flowed, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the spikenard ointment. When Jesus was crucified, the world was washed in his blood. Under that blood, you may come and you may say, Abba, Father. But will you come? And will you so humble yourself as to cry, Father? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for reminding us of the stain that the blood has cleansed. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for reminding us of the stains that are washed clean by the blood that was shed. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for being so beautiful, so wonderful, so precious, so personal. As you work now in the hearts of these men and women, as you now work in this congregation, bring us to our knees whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.